Shagar, we got our answer. Kleem Costin will be the short straw tonight for the Edmonton Oilers, and you can make an argument if you want that he's out, but you don't say, okay, well, who are you going to take out for him? And it's a good problem to have if you're Jay Woodcroft. And I'm curious to see kind of how he massages this over the next few weeks to see who's in and who out on a game-to-game basis.
Yeah, well, I mean, play hard. Play hard. Give him a reason to keep you in. It's when you're an NHL player and you're a depth player, you're kind of used to having to scrap for your place at the table, and guys who take it seriously will be in the fight, and if anyone takes it for granted, they won't be. It'll be like it's supposed to be competitive on a good team to get in the lineup now. So Costin, I don't mind it. A motivated Costin coming back into the lineup is a good thing, and it's just a signal to all of them that you gotta keep fighting for your spot. And sometimes it'll just be, it's not going to be because someone plays bad. They just don't have enough spaces. But, good, like you said, good problem to have. And I would have liked Costin in tonight against Boston because I like the size, and Boston's got a little bit of grit you got to deal with. But, Evander Kane will help with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, you get Kane back in there. That he brings a whole lot of that. What Costin doesn't have. But what about the back end? How long can they let Broberg marinate on the sidelines? I know it's only been one game. I don't want to get too dramatic here, but just what is the, is there a number in your head, Shagar?
I don't know, man. Like, I tend to get rattled by that stuff faster than they do. You know, like a couple of years ago when it was Bouchard barely playing any games during the All-Canadian Division year, I thought they pushed that way further than they should, but they just did it. Earlier this year, it was like Holloway wasn't playing enough and wasn't playing enough of a role and felt like, man, they need to move that guy down. They didn't. So, I mean, I wouldn't let it go on very long. I think Philip Broberg's a really important player, and I think they need to have him playing games. And the way this lineup sets up, I don't like his chances of being in there a ton. So I don't know what the number is, Struds, but it's, you definitely don't want it to go on for weeks where he's getting in, and then when he does get in, he's got six other defensemen to compete with and getting 9 minutes. I don't think that's great either. But they've shown they're willing to do that. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I don't see it being he's missed one game. He's played a lot prior to that. If this lasts a week or two, there's a reason why I think they put him on the AHL roster and then recall him right away. He's eligible to go down, and I wouldn't be surprised if they switch him and Nima Leinen in a week or so. If he sat out too many games in a row, you could easily do it. But, they got to get home ice advantage. Worrying about Philip Broberg developing down the stretch, I really don't think it's a main concern. It shouldn't be. It's about winning right now. And,
Can you do both at the same time?
Well, you could send him down, but then you got to bring up Nima Leinen, who's a young guy, too. So it's just massaging it. Like, what if a guy gets hurt tonight? Then Broberg goes in, he's only missed two games. Like, to me, it's not an issue when he sits out two games.
No, and that's why I said I'm not saying it's an issue with two games, but I think where I'm coming more than that is, let's say it goes eight games and someone gets hurt. They got to keep him ready because he's their seventh defenseman. Right, he's the guy that is going in next. So, because who's the eighth defenseman? Right, who's the guy that comes up? Is it Nima Leinen? So yeah. Your seventh, eighth defenseman. I think they got to be playing, especially when they're younger players, because you might need them, like in significant moments.
Yeah, I'm not saying, nobody's saying it's panic time right now, Gregs. But like, if they're going to be in a 12-6 formation because they've got lots of good usable forwards, how much do you think Philip Broberg should play in the next month? Are you okay if he plays two or three games and plays 9-10 minutes in those games? I don't think that'd be great for him. So unless something's going to change here, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see how it goes and if they find a way to get him in, and there's always the potential for injuries, but I wouldn't just be dragging him around not playing him. So it's still early days, and so it's not anything to get too concerned about yet, but you look at it and think, okay, well, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. He needs to be playing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one game. I'm not too worried about it. Talk to me in 10 days, and then maybe I'd think it's a bit of an issue.
But, buddy, we're saying the same thing. Yeah. But we're just having the conversation 10 days early, saying, I wonder if this will become a thing. So we're all saying the same thing, I guess. it sounds to me like.
Yeah, because what I'm suggesting is that I don't think you can take anyone out of the lineup now because Darnay kills penalties and Broberg
exactly.
doesn't. So if he's not, and again, it's not about development. This is about him being ready to play. Like let's you know at some so he can go back to seven, which is an option for sure. But he is my seventh guy. There's nobody else, and I think that's why you want to. That's why I'm just talking about it in that type of terms.
Yep, that's fair.
You look at the Bruins, and hey, they're saying all the right. Oh, you know, the owners have changed; they're a different team, and they are in theory, I guess, because now there's three guys in the lineup tonight that weren't there the last time. And it, oh no, sorry, Ekholm was here, but no, he wasn't. Ekholm wasn't.
No, he wasn't. Yeah, Toronto. Yeah,
Ekholm
was
wasn't in the game. That Toronto was his first one, so Ekholm wasn't in the game. Kane wasn't in the game. Bukestad wasn't in the game. So that's you know three veteran players, three bigger players. And, you know, I'm curious to see now. This is as close to a healthy lineup as the Oilers have had all season. Well, it is because they never had Ekholm early in the year. So I'm kind of curious to see how they do here down the stretch if everybody stays healthy.
Well, you know, one of the best defensive teams in the league, the best offensive team in the league, measuring stick game for the Oilers. They're finally healthy. I mean, this is a massive test for them. And what a great test to have this team twice in a week in the month before you get going into the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm really interested, too, to see how they do. I think it's going to be a really good game. Guys, I feel that the Oilers generally show up against the better teams. They want to be in this category of team. They want to measure themselves against these teams. And I find they get up for these games. It's the other opponents that I think they struggle with. But let's remember what McDavid said after they lost that game to the Bruins, right? Winning is a skill, and they've got it mastered. That was from Connor McDavid after that game got away from him. So I expect we'll see a highly motivated McDavid just based on how hard I think he took that loss. And you can, sure, it's a moral victory, and they played well against the best team and all that. He was pissed they lost that game. And they understand that the difference is just inches. It's moments. It's tiny little seconds in a game where you got to take care of details against the best teams like this. And so I would expect them to have learned that and come out and be ready to go and paying attention to the details.
So what are those details like? What could they refine from last game that maybe there? They actually played pretty well, but is there something that you think that they could really dial in that maybe Connor was referring to as far learning, as talking about the learning to win?
Yeah, well, I'll have to. You know what I didn't do today was pull up the notes and take a look at I'm just trying to recall what some of the issues that
guys?
They had.
Yep. Finish your chances. That's what it was.
Oh, that Yamo was yeah,
two
that
good
was
chances.
Yamamoto, right, had the two chances. Couple of really good chances to score. Yeah, good, better memory than I have there, Greggs. It was about finishing those chances, and McDavid pointed those chances out. So I totally agree with you. It's you know, in some ways it's every bit as bad not to bury an open net as it is to, you know, 5-star giveaway up the middle against teams like this. The margins at both ends are slim, and you got to take advantage and be prepared. So this is not a team that you want to be letting opportunity get away, and everybody needs to be ready. Like, at some point, opportunity is going to present itself to a certain number of those guys in there, and everybody needs to be ready to pounce on it, no matter who you are. So when it comes, you know, you're ready. You're not caught snoozing or sleeping at all.
Yeah, you know, you look at it, and I love that point that Gregor makes there. And I think it's just about staying with your system. Like, let's say they get down earlier and they get a couple chances they don't score, don't change what they do, because that's what mature teams are. Mature teams, like if you watch Boston, I've watched them a couple times, they're consistent in their delivery and the way that they do it. And that's what good teams are. They don't try to change things. They don't try to make up, you know, something special. And I'm looking for that tonight. It's a little different on the road. The matchups might look a little different, but that patience, trusting your system. I think that'll be a refrain we'll probably hear from the coach, Woodcroft.
Yeah, and the other one, too, I pulled up the notes here and just did a quick scan of it. The other one, too, if you guys recall, you know, it was just getting undisciplined at key moments of the game. So that was where you had the cost and four-minute high-sticking penalty that was just ridiculous. And the Desharnais, just that ridiculous slash between the shoulder blades of Pastrnak there. I mean, it was just... You just can't take silly, ridiculous penalties against Boston. You know, you can't. Like, right. The margin is too slim. So, you know, take a penalty if it takes away a scoring chance. You want, you know, sort of aggressive penalties. Not aggressive in the way Desharnais took one. That was undisciplined. So, yeah, they definitely let their discipline get away from them and took some stupid penalties and took their opportunity away to try and claw their way back in.
You know, it's interesting going back to Desharnais, because I talked to him about that play, and he was like, oh, my goodness. And so, but he told me, because remember that sequence leading up, he blocked four shots in a row. And the crowd was going bananas. And he said, you know what? Like, normally, I'm pretty calm. I don't hear the crowd. He says, I blocked those four shots. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, like, the crowd's going nuts. He goes, I got up. I felt like I had to do something. He goes, and then just, I made a wrong decision. It was terrible. But it was interesting, because he talked about, I've got to learn to control my emotions, because the playoffs are going to be infinitely louder all the time. And so as much as he hated, he says it was a really good learning experience for him to know that your emotions cannot let them get the best of you at key times like that. But it was funny how he said he got up and he was just like, I gotta do something. And obviously he went
in the numbers.
Yes.
Oh, how often do you see someone slash a guy in the numbers?
That was one of the most ridiculous things I've seen. I guess, you know, if you're going to waste one, you might as well waste it on that guy, I guess. But, yeah, no, and I remember Darren talking about that too, Greg. Like, it's clearly a lesson learned. And we're watching him learn lessons on the fly here. He's just been such a great story. And he stepped in. He's such a likable guy. You respect his game. His teammates seem to really appreciate him. He's a guy that came up and has taken over a share of doing difficult things. And that's blocking shots, and that's throwing hits, and that's standing in for teammates. That's just difficult things. And he's upped that quotient on this team. But he's learning lessons on the fly. And he's learning quick, too. Like, his progression has been pretty steady. And so, yeah, it was a tough lesson for him. And I think we'll probably see him stay on the right side of that discipline game tonight.
Shocker, enjoy the match. We will chat with you tomorrow.
See you guys.